The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Oh, let me tell you all the awful things Joseph Rosenbaum did. He tipped over a porta potty that had no one in it. He swung a chain. He lit a metal garbage dumpster on fire. Oh, and there's this empty wooden flatbed trailer that they pulled out in the middle of the road and they tipped it over to stop some bearcats and they lit it on fire. Oh, and he said some bad words. He said the N-word.
Oh, and he also enjoyed raping 10-year-old boys, this Rosenbaum. And he vowed to kill, Rittenhouse the third night of that rioting in Kenosha. And there's the prosecutor from a couple days ago trying to convince you that, as I covered on yesterday's show, that he was a hero. That Rosenbaum was a hero, if you can believe it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream of this program every day at CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the video version of this program, this podcast, this live stream, whatever you want to call it, this broadcast, you've got to go to our website, thetrumpet.com. And just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And that takes you to the live stream every day at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time here in Oklahoma. Every weekday at 11 a.m., I should say. And yeah, you can get to the podcast after the fact at the same page on the website. So if you look at this trial, and of course we're waiting for the verdict. It's to come down at any moment. The jury was deliberating for quite a few hours yesterday, and then I guess through this morning as well. And we'll come to why it might be taking as long as it is. If any case should have been decided in just a few moments or a few minutes, you would think it would be this one. But they're still deliberating. Even after witnessing prosecutors like what you just saw there, prosecutors trying to make Joseph Rosenbaum out to be a hero and Kyle Rittenhouse out to be a, as Joe Biden said last year, a white supremacist. I mean, you look at how this case was handled from the prosecutor's standpoint, and you have to wonder if they were just trying to even throw the case. They knew they didn't have a case. Let's just hurry on and get to the rioting. And they're ready. They're prepared for it. Joe Biden's militiamen, Joe Biden's army, they're ready to take to the streets. And you've got agitators that are calling for riots, not just in Kenosha, but in Chicago, in Milwaukee, all over the country to protest this. As I say, we're not in the business of guessing which way that this is going to go, but you certainly can step back and look at the bigger picture. And just like we were saying all through those riots last summer, I mean, Satan is just whipping up anger and hatred. He's pitting one race against another. And it's building, isn't it? You can see that it's building. The devil's using all of his familiar mouthpieces in the media, the propagandists in the media. And I mean, they know how that this is supposed to go down. Even though there's a few, as I said yesterday, a few honest commentators, journalists that are saying, wow, now that I've watched this case, I didn't know anything about the facts. I just got the narrative from CNN or MSNBC. We played this clip for you yesterday. Here's, again, the other prosecutor in this case, clip 10.
He brought a gun to a fist fight. And he was too cowardly to use his own fist to fight his way out.
He should have fought the mob Remember how everyone had such great success fighting the mob with their fists last summer? You can look at all of the footage, the B-roll, and hopefully it'll still be available in the weeks and months ahead, because the major media, they're trying to scrub this. They're trying to blot this out. They're revising the history in real time. Show some of that footage if you've got it there, Sam. These rioters and beating people to a bloody pulp. Some of them died even. And I guess this is what the prosecutor would have preferred Kyle Rittenhouse do. Just submit to the mob. If it means you get pummeled, if it means you get dragged through this stampede, if it means you get knocked out in the middle of the street, if it means you get run over by a getaway car, if you get pounded by 2x4s, just take it. Certainly don't bring a gun to protect yourself. It didn't work so well for some of these people in this montage here, did it? And yet that's what the mob is demanding. You just let us destroy, and if we want to beat you up, let us do that. And you can't bring a gun. You can't defend yourself if your life is threatened. Did the media, did they react to any of these cases you're seeing on video right now with the kind of frenzied coverage like what you're seeing this week with Rittenhouse? This really is. We were having an email back and forth, some of us. Brad McDonald made the point this morning that it really does highlight just how lawless the United States has become as a nation. I mean, lawlessness, and think of it revolves around what's happening inside of a courtroom. I mean, that's where you're supposed to see the law upheld, right? That's where you're supposed to see the law applied fairly, justly, no matter who it is, no matter their background, no matter their race. And yet, the lawlessness from beginning to end, the false narrative, the lies, the deception about this case, the fact that the DA's office took it up after, 48 hours? They didn't even investigate this. They just made a rush to judgment because that's what the mob demanded. Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. He's a murderer. So the DA's office in Wisconsin, they rushed to say, yeah, we're going for murder. And now we've just seen this comedy of errors, and that's putting it nicely. They've tampered with evidence. They've withheld evidence, these prosecutors. Just corrupt through and through. And now all the threats to dox the members of the jury. And you've got reports coming out this morning that there's two jurors that are holding up the decision to acquit because they're worried. They're worried about their safety. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about being persecuted. Yeah, this is going on, in case anyone in Congress wants to take note and say, hey, call off the attack dogs. They're actually concerning themselves with censuring someone who, a representative in Congress, who sent out a cartoon, his staff did, and it was offensive, I guess. So Nancy Pelosi, she's got to go after him. And meanwhile, there's violence about to boil over in the streets. Actual violence, not cartoon. This is not a cartoon. Here's Tucker Carlson as he just basically lays out the facts of the case last night. Clip 5.
The key question was, did Kyle Rittenhouse act in self-defense that night in Kenosha? And the answer unequivocally is yes, obviously. It's a no-brainer. It's like the OJ trial. No honest person could reach a different conclusion. Kyle Rittenhouse shot men he believed were trying to kill him. Now, why did Kyle Rittenhouse believe that, you may ask? Well, in one case, the man he shot told him so directly, "I plan to kill you." Of the other two men Kyle Rittenhouse shot, one repeatedly bashed him in the head with a skateboard as he lay on the ground, and the other stuck a loaded gun in his face. So Kyle Rittenhouse fought back in order to save his own life. We're not guessing about that. Even the prosecution's witnesses made that point.
That's Tucker Carlson from his program last night. He thought his life was in danger, and he had good reason to think that way. And so he shot Rosenbaum, and then the other guy, as well as the one that was bashing him in the head with a skateboard. He goes on, Tucker does, and wonders, as I touched on at the top of the show, why that it's taking as long as it is for the jury. Here's clip six.
So the question is, why is it taking so long for this jury to produce a very obvious verdict? Want the answer? We'll look outside the courtroom. There are hundreds of National Guard troops assembled tonight in Kenosha. Why are they there? Well, they've come in case Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted. Not in case he's convicted, in case he's acquitted. At which point, if he is acquitted, pretty much everyone expects the usual mobs of Joe Biden voters to burn and loot and destroy. Why does everyone expect this? Because people on the left are openly calling for it.
They're calling for it, and he goes on and gives examples of that. People in powerful positions calling for rioting. This is Jack Posobiec's tweet from this morning. Two jurors holding the decision up, outright citing backlash per U.S. Marshal in Kenosha. They're worried about the backlash. They're worried that Kenosha might go up in flames again. They're worried for their own personal safety. The judge in this case, he's been threatened. His family's been threatened. Others have made threats to dox the jury, as I say. So people are worried. People are concerned. This is what passes for justice in the United States of America today. One last bit from Tucker's show, clip seven.
So imagine if you were a juror in this case. How would you feel about this? You're not sequestered. You know how the country feels. You know what the threats are. Well, you might think twice before you acquitted Kyle Rittenhouse, no matter what the evidence was. The mob threatens violence. The rest of us tremble. And pretty soon, the mob controls our justice system. Pretty soon, the enemies of civilization, which is what they are in charge of the country. That's what's happening now.
Some insightful analysis there from Tucker last night. He's got a large following. A lot of people watch him. And you can feel it building. We felt it last summer, building toward a civil war. But more and more Americans are looking at those scenes that we showed you earlier and concluding that they're just going to keep pounding our heads into the pavement unless we shoot them, unless we fight back. And, of course, Ezekiel 4 and 5 speaks to that oncoming civil war. The mob, they control the streets. That was obvious from last year. And as Tucker brought out, the mob controls, they're not that far away from controlling the justice system. You put the mob rule jury members that are worried or fearful for their lives, you put that together with some of these deranged prosecutors and or judges that just want to make it more and more lenient for the criminals, that just want to put the criminals back out onto the streets as soon as possible so that they can carry out some of these kinds of atrocities. There was this case in New York City. It was on a local news channel there in New York City about this individual that's had a history of attacking police officers. Listen to this local report from New York, clip eight.
The unprovoked attack, captured from two angles, surveillance and police body cam videos, investigators say, shows the suspect, identified as 39-year-old Isis Thompson, walk up to a police officer Sunday on East 194th Street and strike him from behind. The weapon, a backpack, but not just any backpack. The criminal complaint states it contained a safe constructed of metal. Despite the glaring evidence and the violent assault that sent the 30-year-old officer to the hospital, one day later, Thompson is back on the street, freed without bail. But that's not all. Court records show Thompson was convicted of stabbing an NYPD officer in 2008, serving 2 years of his 5-year sentence before he was paroled.
The violence in our community is way up. If I'm the one who's the victim of this, and I realize it's the person who victimized me was incarcerated but was released, then that makes me very angry.
Sources say despite admitting to striking the officer and despite facing several assault charges, Thompson was allowed to leave court under supervised release.
Yeah, he admits to it. He's stabbed a police officer before, bashes another one in the head with a concrete block, and he's out the next day. A little slap on the wrist. And there you have one resident of the Bronx saying, look, violence is going way up. I mentioned to you yesterday, went through that that piece from, the journalist, talking about just shoplifting epidemic. It's out of control. They're just lifting hundreds of millions of dollars of merchandise every day, every couple of days. $45 billion per year. The lawlessness. You see it on the streets. And you see it in courtrooms. You see it in the games that these prosecutors play to lie, to deceive. You shouldn't have showed up with a gun to protect that place of business. They want to go after the guns. They want to take away your right to defend yourself. Just the simple concept of self-defense. Can't even do it. They don't want you to be able to do. Think about this case in New York for a second. He can bash. You know, we heard all about Sicknick, right? The hoax that they bashed his head with a fire extinguisher. And there's some people that are still lying about that. And people rotting in jail as political prisoners because they were part of that protest that killed all of those phantom policemen. They're still in jail. Months and almost a year after the fact. This guy actually does bash in a police officer's head. He's out of jail the next day. He stabbed a police officer before. He's out of jail the next day. Doesn't matter. That's the two-tiered system of justice in the United States of America. Corruption, lawlessness. Makes me think of that verse in Habakkuk. Habakkuk, how do you explain all of this? Well, you explain it. The evil, as I was discussing in doctrines class this morning, the evil in this world, you know, people in the traditional Christian world, they can certainly look at what I'm talking about on today's program and see, you know, the politics of it all. The fact that we are under communist attack, and I guess their solution is going to be we've got to crush the communists. But just look at it more broadly. The evil, the violence, the war, the crime. I saw a picture of two little girls this morning on Twitter. They're waiting to be sold for $2,000 each. Sold into sex trafficking or slavery. And their parents are doing it because they need the money. They can't feed themselves. What a horrible world this is. You see those kinds of stories all the time. And some of us that have lived in the more prosperous nations, we're so spoiled that we look at the prosperity and think that, well, the world is a pretty good place. It must be a pretty good place. It's not. It's not. The filth, the violence. It's like Genesis 6 and verse 5 says, our minds are on evil continually. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. The house, that one family, just surrounded by violent criminals. And it was so bad that God had to practically drag them out, Lot and his family. What did I say? Habakkuk, here we go. That's why I print the verses on my notes. In case I can't get there quick enough. It says here, behold, verse 5, behold, you among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work. We'll just back up before that. It says in verse 3, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Now, we went through all of this during the Laodicean era, early on. All of the violence, the destruction that was all around us in spiritual Israel, the church. Verse 5, it says, or verse 4, it says, therefore the law is slack and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceeds. Now, hopefully this jury will come to a right judgment, but look, wrong judgment is proceeding every day. You see it in cases like New York City. And the righteous just encompassed by the wicked. So much wickedness. No wonder. I mean, Jesus said it's going to be just like the days before the flood. In these last days, it's going to be just like those days. People can call for violence. That's what many of them want. The reason they don't go after that Black Lives Matter leader is because many in the media are calling for the same thing. They're right on the same page. This is from the BLM leader in New York just last week, clip 11.
If they think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we are going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed.
He doesn't want the old ways. He wants the new ways, where you can take a concrete block and just come up from behind and smash in the head of a police officer. Where's MSNBC? Where's Joe Scarborough? Where are the ones that talked about the fire extinguisher? That lied about the fire extinguisher? Here's an actual case, and he's running free the next day. It's unbelievable. This is the days just before the flood. Universal sin. And what did it lead to? Universal destruction. And where does universal sin lead in these last days? Same thing. Universal destruction. Donald Trump was interviewed last night on, a podcast or something with Mike Lindell. He's the one that's still fighting for the truth to prevail regarding November 3rd, 2020, the election steal. Both of them last night talking about the need to not go forward and just try to win it in 2024, but we've got to go back, as Donald Trump keeps saying. We've lost the country. This is clip one.
But I have a lot of good people say, sir, forget about 2020. You're going to win. You're way up in the polls. You're going to win. I say, we're not going to have a country in 3 years.
Nope. No
this
way.
Guy did this in 9 months. He destroyed our country.
Nope.
You know, I say, make America great again. That was my theme. And it was going to be keep America great. I gave that away. I threw them all away, the hats. It's not because America is not great now.
No.
America is a laughing stock all over the world.
And he's completely right about that. Look at what's happened just in 9 months. Time, a laughingstock all over the world. They're laughing. One more clip from that exchange, clip two.
When you have Afghanistan with that horrible tragedy that happened in Afghanistan, when you have millions of people pouring in, we have no idea who they are, just pouring into our country, they could have finished the wall in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They could have had the wall done. It was almost finished. Mm-hmm. 500 miles of wall. It was right. Almost finished. They want it to be open. Mm-hmm. At first, I thought they were incompetent. And now I realize they actually want it open. They want open borders.
Well,
we're
going to
have tens of millions of people pouring in. We have no idea who they are.
Well,
it's not incompetence, he says there. At first, he thought that. But now he sees this is chaos by design, as we had on our Trumpet magazine not that long ago. It's all by design. It's all part of the attack. Part of the attack was, of course, to get him out of office. And the communists, they pulled it off. They used the flu to introduce all of this mail-in balloting. You know, there was a pretty great exchange with, I think he's on MSNBC, this commentator. I don't always agree with MSNBC's commentators. But he's got Brad Raffensperger on, and they're talking about... They're talking about the new election laws in Georgia, which is basically just a return back to some of the things that were in place before the pandemic. And this journalist says, well, you know, if everything was perfect about the election last year, well, why immediately after it do you have all of these rules that you want to put in place for election integrity? This is the journalist. I forget his name. Clip three.
I don't get why you would pass a law to fight voter fraud if there isn't any voter fraud. How can you be supporting a law that's going after something that you say doesn't exist?
It's a good point. It's a good point. I mean, earlier this year, when they went for those new voter laws in Georgia, and even some of the other states, there's been multiple states that have said, you know what, we've got to get it back to the way that it was because there's just too much fraud. I mean, that gives the game away regarding last year, doesn't it? Of course it does. Though Raffensperger cannot stand Donald Trump, so he's willing to turn a blind eye. Same with the governor over there. Same with Gabriel Sterling. All of them. They have contempt for Donald Trump. They're part of the plot. These weak Republicans that are fine to just let the communist left steal a presidential election. That's what happened. And they let it happen. But now they're saying, okay, well, we got Donald Trump out of there. But we're not going to let this happen again. I mean, we can't just let them steal every election. So Raffensperger comes along and he's on board with the election integrity rules, the new laws in Georgia. And he's asked by this reporter three times, why do you need the laws? If the integrity was there, why do you need it? If there was no fraud, why do you need it? If it was perfect. Listen again to this reporter come back to the same question. He can't get a straight answer out of Raffensperger. This is clip 4.
With respect, we can agree and disagree about some of the contents. You mentioned some of the good things in the bill that you think are in there. There are other things, you know, there's less time to get absentee ballots. There's stricter requirements for it. People like yourself cannot send out absentee ballots to voters. That's criminalized now. Reduction in drop box. But what I'm really wondering is, rather than we argue about the different things in the bill, the bill itself, let's be honest with each other and with our viewers, was pushed by a Georgia Republican Party that said it's to fight voter fraud. And you told me a moment ago there was no systematic voter fraud. So why pass a law to fight something that you say doesn't exist? I don't get it.
In my book, I do quote General Patton. He talks about moral courage is perhaps one of the most absent characteristic in man. And so really a lot of times people, you know, are just fearful what would happen to them in a reelection or someone would primary them. But I've shown that I'm going to stand and I'm going to walk the line of integrity.
Whatever that means. He doesn't answer. You know, I could have played the third clip for you as well, but the reporter comes back and says, again, with respect, why pass laws to guard against something you say doesn't exist? It's a good question. He can't answer it. He's talking about integrity. He's talking about personal integrity. He has courage. He has integrity. And he doesn't answer the question. As I say, it gives the game away. It's how they can sort of kind of apologize through the back door. Yeah, we know there was widespread rampant voter fraud. We know this. All kinds of officials have even been fired or else have just been let go because they were getting away with cheating and stealing in Fulton County and elsewhere. And he knows it. Raffensperger knows it. So does Gabe Sterling. So does the governor. But they continue to play the game. Everything was perfect. Everything was legit. Donald Trump lost fair and square. But, oh, by the way, we've got to fix a lot of things about the next election. We definitely need to fix a lot of things. They know. They're in on the steal. They know Joe Biden didn't get 81 million votes. They know this. In their heart of hearts, they know he's illegitimate. Look at this footage from yesterday. He's showing up, Biden, the fake president. He's showing up to speak, I think, somewhere in New Hampshire, clip 12. He's on a bridge somewhere, the bridge to nowhere, I guess. Big, huge U.S. flag, and approximately three people there in attendance. A smattering of applause. This man got 81 million votes? No, it didn't happen.
Thank you.
The truth is that America is under attack. The truth is that America is being blotted out by the communist left. And the truth, of course, behind that is that Satan is orchestrating all of this. Read 2 Kings 14, verses 26 through 28. He wants to blot out even the name of Israel. That's right. That's right. And so here comes Joe Biden, the fake president. It's actually Barack Obama who's behind the scenes as the puppet master. And like Donald Trump said, look at the damage that's happened in just 9-10 months. One last little bit here. Well, I guess I can. It's from the Wall Street Journal. I'll just go through it quickly. FBI tracks threats against teachers, school board members. So, again, the thug who bashed in the police officer's head, he's in and out of jail. He's back out on the streets. All the thugs that brought down Kenosha for three straight nights last year, they're in and out of jail, the worst of them, I guess. Kamala bails them out the next day. Rosenbaum, he's a hero. Same with the other guys. It's just Rittenhouse. He's the thug. He's the white supremacist. This follows up the story about Loudoun County and some of the things that we've gone through in recent weeks. Many further on, it says the Federal Bureau of Investigations has set up a process to track threats against school board members and teachers, moving to implement a Justice Department directive that some law enforcement officials and Republican lawmakers say could improperly target parents protesting local education policies. This is the FBI monitoring parents and creating a dossier in some cases, like they did in Arizona. Yeah, this superintendent, single guy, 27, his dad's worked with him to gather all this information on social media about parents of children, because they're the problem. The communist attack on the family, we've got an article on this in the Next Trumpet. It's real. It's real. Barack Obama, he sees the parents as the problem. You're not going to be able to raise good communists if the parents interfere with the education. So even if it means overlooking rape in a school bathroom, that's okay. The ends justifies the means. We've got to have our transgender policies in place, after all. It says here, the heads of the FBI's criminal and counterterrorism divisions, the counterterrorism division at the FBI, instructed agents in an October 20th memo to flag all assessments and investigations into potentially criminal threats, harassment, and intimidation of educators with a threat tag, which the official said would allow them to evaluate the scope of the problem. It says an FBI agent provided a copy of the internal email to several Republican lawmakers, citing concerns that it could open the door for the Bureau to collect information on parents voicing their opposition to local school policies during meetings. Thankfully, there was at least one whistleblower in the FBI that thought, you know what, this seems like it's targeting political opponents. And it is. Of course it is. It's just like the political prisoners rotting away there in the Washington, D.C. jail. Because they went into the Capitol, they were invited in, took a few photos, and now they're in jail. They've been in jail for months. But the ones guilty of actual violence, the mob, the rioters, the looters, so many of them, if they even got a slap on the wrist, that's all that it amounted to, just a little slap on the wrist. A lot of them were just, you know, left to roam the streets, and they're still there, Biden soldiers. They're ready. They're ready. It just takes one incident, inflamed by the propagandists in the media, and you could have more mob warfare. It's a ticking time bomb. Whether it happens with this case revolving around Rittenhouse or something else, be assured, the communists working in the media, they're going to do everything that they can to, as I covered last week on the show, to foment war and violence. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. Trumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
In a class here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, we've been studying the true gospel that Jesus proclaimed when he came into Galilee, speaking, as you heard yesterday on the show, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why should there be so much confusion about what even the gospel is? The true gospel, the message that Jesus proclaimed. Well, there's a lot of confusion about it because the devil has worked to blot out the truth regarding the gospel. He's gotten the focus away from the message and onto the messenger, Jesus. So you hear a lot about Jesus in the traditional Christian world, but precious little about the message that he actually brought, the message that he actually proclaimed. Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." We can actually turn over there if you grab your Bible and read along with me. Read what the disciples were asking him. They were most curious about as his ministry came to an end. They really wanted to know, okay, when are you going to set up the kingdom? As is prophesied all through the Old Testament, as you've told us. You said in John 14, after all, if I go, I'm coming again. So when are you coming again? When are you going to establish that kingdom on earth? Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he often referred to that verse I just read to you, Matthew 24, 14, as the commission that God gave to the church. In a 1983 sermon, Mr. Armstrong said, "Today's mission of the church, you'll find in Matthew 24 and verse 14. He said in the Plain Truth About Healing booklet, the great commission and ministry for God's church today is in Jesus' prophecy concerning it in Matthew 24, 14. So he would refer to other verses at times when talking about the true gospel, but as far as the commission God had given to the church, the worldwide church of God under his leadership, all through his 50-some year ministry, the commission was Matthew 24, 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness." Most people didn't respond. Most people don't respond today. But the warning, the witness, it has to go out. Now, as soon as Mr. Armstrong died, those Laodicean ministers, they started to steer the brethren away from Matthew 24, 14, and they referred to some other verses, which, you know, other verses canonized in the Bible. It certainly is part of the story. It's part of the truth about the gospel, if you're focusing in on that subject. But they really were getting the church away from that that mission to warn the world, to be a witness. This was something that the Worldwide Church of God, following the death of Herbert Armstrong, didn't want to do. They abandoned their post, this responsibility to be like that watchman high up in the tower, peering out over the ledge to see off into the distance what is coming. They didn't want to tell the truth about the end of this age. They didn't want to tell the truth about some of the prophecies that we often talk about on this show. They didn't have the courage to speak up, to sound the alarm. Even when so many verses tell us to do exactly that, if you've got the truth, you better be willing to proclaim it. You better have the courage and the strength and the faith to know that God will take care of you, that God will back you. The Laodicean Christians, they lost that. And they just joined the world. They went right back into the world. God had brought them out of the world and into his true church so that they could then fulfill this mission to preach the gospel as a witness. But it shows just how quickly we can turn away from the true gospel. Yesterday I read to you Galatians 1. Verses 6 through 9 there, you can see where Paul just says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the true gospel. How did that happen? Here's what Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1985. It says, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he ascended to heaven to sit with God on God's throne where he is today. 10 days after his ascension, days after his death, the Holy Spirit descended to fill his disciples. That day of first fruits, the church was born. It says it thrived and grew amazingly. You can read of this in Acts 2, Acts 4. You see some astonishing growth. Thousands coming into the church early on. Early on in the history of God's true church. It says, but soon opposition and persecution set in. See, people start doing things differently when there's opposition, strong opposition or persecution or maybe threats. Like if you don't decide to do this, if your judgment is not this, this, and this, then we're going to take to the streets. We're going to burn it down. It says here, a violent controversy. Well, let me back up. Soon opposition and persecution set in. By AD 51, much of the church in Galatia had turned to another gospel. A violent controversy arose over whether the gospel to be preached was the gospel of Christ or a gospel about Christ. See, when that violent controversy arose, many of God's people, even in the first century, Paul says this in Galatians 1, they weakened, their faith weakened, and they turned to another gospel that was just a little bit easier, smooth things. It didn't rock the boat much. It didn't spark, you know, this violent reaction in the opposition. And so they turned to another gospel, and Paul says, how could you do this? You had the true gospel. You had the message Jesus preached. And so many of them, though, fell away from that truth. Happened in the first century, and we've seen it happen in this last century. Going back, of course, before that, to the 1980s, the early 1990s. Most of that transformation over to just another ordinary a Christian denomination of the world that didn't have the true gospel. It just took a few years. By the mid-1990s, the transformation was complete. We're seeing a frightening parallel with what's happening in our nations in this radical transformation. Look at what's happened in just a few short years. Barack Obama only came on the scene in 2008. I mean, that's just 13 years ago. But look at the damage. Look at the damage in particular here in this third term for Obama. Look at what's happened just in 9-10 months. An abomination of desolation, destruction, everywhere that you turn, and more threats. threats of more violence, more destruction. Criminals that get away with murder in some cases and just roaming the streets. You've got to be lenient. If it's a deranged lunatic, I mean, something like that case in New York City, he's not right in the mind. He's got a demon, no doubt. If when he sees a police officer, his first impulse is to grab a concrete block and run up and bash his head in. Now, had that happened on the Capitol on January 6th, well, that person should be rotting away in prison. But it didn't even happen. Is this God's world we're living in? No, as we've covered recently as well, it's Satan's world. Notice the disciples here in Matthew 24, as they asked Jesus Christ about God's world, they said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" When is this going to be over? The end of this, I mean, this refers to an age. Verse 14 does anyway, where I read earlier that the gospel is going to go around the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, or those end times. In God's family government, it says that was the first time the true gospel had been preached around the world since the first century. My father's writing about Herbert Armstrong's work and ministry. He took the gospel, the true gospel, right around the world. And I mean, that's a sign. He died in 1986. And look at where we are. We've been in the last hour for a number of years now. We're drawing near to the return of Christ. It's close. It's even at the doors. Mr. Armstrong said right before he died, "It's now true that this gospel has been proclaimed within every nation on earth by the worldwide Church of God." He said as much in Mystery of the Ages. If you haven't requested this, make sure that you call our operators and ask for Mystery of the Ages. It's a toll-free number in the United States and Canada, 1-866-930-3024. Back to this booklet by my father, it says, "But what is the gospel? It is the good news of God's family administering God's government in the wonderful world to come." That's what the true gospel is. How come you don't hear more about it, as I said yesterday? The good news of God's family administering God's government in the wonderful world to come. It says, if Mr. Armstrong didn't teach God's true government, as the Laodiceans say, then he didn't understand God's gospel, and Mr. Armstrong couldn't have preached it around the world. So many of those Laodicean branches that broke away from the worldwide church in protest there in the early 1990s, they said, you know, Mr. Armstrong, he got it all wrong with respect to government. And like my father says here, if he didn't understand government, if he didn't get that right, well, he wouldn't have had the true gospel. Because what is the gospel? The true gospel is the good news of God's family administering God's government. We're going to administer that government all over the earth. And this is what the world needs. Look around you. Even the best that man's been able to produce, a republic like in the United States, where you did have these checks and balances that helped to prevent a tyrant from coming along, an authoritarian. And yet, the U.S. is just 250 years old. That's not very old compared to a lot of other nations. And it's already failed miserably in so many ways. When the founders told us, look, what we're putting together here, if you don't have religion and morality, it's done. It's done. And so that's where we are. We don't have religion and morality. We have lawlessness. We have gross immorality. We have evil continually. That's because this is not God's world. And America's government, as much as it's better than a lot of the other options in the world, or at least at one time was, when you compare it to some of the monarchies or the oligarchies or whatever it is, Communism. I mean, they just keep wanting. Communism fail. It's got a trail of failure everywhere that you look. And yet these dupes brought up in modern education, they look at it and say, you know what? Sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's try it again. The people that come to the United States from communist nations, they see, they can recognize what's happening to the U.S. at the moment. But a lot of our own young people that have grown up in the modern educational system of the United States, they can't see it. In fact, they want socialism. They want Marxism. They've been taught this by Marxist professors. But the point of it is, none of these governments, these man-made governments, have worked. But here is God's government. What is the true gospel that Jesus proclaimed? It's the good news of God's family administering God's government in the wonderful world to come. God's family government. That's what it is. That's what it is. I don't have time to go through. I guess we can hit a couple of verses in Isaiah 29. You can just see why there's so much blindness in the world and even among God's people, even among true Christians. This is Isaiah 29 and verse 10. It says, "For the Eternal has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets, it says, and your rulers, the seers, has he covered." It says in verse 11, "And the vision of all is because unto you, it's become unto you, I should say, as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed." The truth is sealed. God, I mean, you can read over in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it says God sent strong delusion to see if we would love the truth of the gospel. And most of God's people did not love it, and so they let it go. They let it slip away. Verse 18, it says, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." In that day, people will finally come to understand. This is obviously millennial here. Soon the eyes of the whole world will be open to the truth of the gospel, the good news of God's family administering God's government, righteous government. Verse 24, it says, "They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine." Mr. Armstrong said in The Incredible Human Potential, he said, "Remember this, the true gospel message, had humanity heeded it, would have saved the world nearly all its anguish, troubles, suffering, and evils." All of these troubles that we see daily in courtrooms, out of courtrooms, on the streets, on TV, inside homes, among family members, nations warring against nations. All of these failed experiments, man-made government. Had we heeded the true gospel, well, it would have saved this world nearly all of its anguish, troubles, suffering, and evils. It says, "It's impossible for me in a few words to make it clear enough with sufficient emphasis to cause the reader to comprehend the supreme, tremendous meaning and importance of that true gospel message." Mr. Armstrong was straining, trying to make it clear, trying to make it exciting and wonderful. He did a really good job of it, by the way. I've got a lot more from that section of IHP that I could give to you. I'm just out of time. But it really is a subject that encompasses everything, the true gospel that Jesus preached. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can. I know we haven't gotten to some email feedback in quite a while, but we'll make time for that soon. You can write us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.